Okay, Spirit of the Law, and what are we covering?
We're up to preparation for Shabbos.
Okay.
Intriguing thing one should do, which the Ben Ishchai discusses. The Rizal holds that it's preferable when you're traveling for Shabbos not to dry oneself. Don't dry off. Don't dry off. The water is so holy, so special, you don't dry it off, you leave it on. Now, I actually had a friend who was a very great person, big person, very learned, very humble. His name was Halperin. One time someone called up, he heard from another friend of ours, he said, I want to give money to someone really genuine. So he said, talk to him, he's special. So he calls up the house, and Halperin's wife answers. He says, I speak to Halperin. He says, he's benched. Calls back 20 minutes later. Hey, Peter Halperin, he's still benching. Calls back, he's still benching. He's like, what did he need? He just came home. And he didn't know who it was. He just like, the man, he benches an hour. Yeah, sometimes benches an hour if he feels inspired. Like, that's something really special. So this person, he said, drying, I have to dry myself for a mikvah. I don't go if I don't have a towel. I just can't stand the water on me. But on Erev Shabbos, if you can stand it, it's better to leave the water on. There's an inyan. Is an Indian to go on, which the Ben Ishchai brings. Let the body absorb this water. He said, if it's hard, the Ben Ishchai says, even winter, forget it, you don't have to get a cold for this. He said, even if it's something, if it's hard for you, you don't have to. He said, but try to leave a little bit undried. Like maybe your hands or on your arms, something doesn't affect you so badly, but try to leave what the Arizal says, if you can. So the Chemes Yom says something very, very interesting about this. So, first of all, someone once asked the Chabina Rov. He was a little kid, a little tyke, and someone asked him, so why are you drying yourself off? You shouldn't dry yourself off. Was in the mikvah. So the little boy said, I know of an Adam Gadol who used to dry himself off, a very great man. So the person laughed and said, you and your Adam Gadol, you shouldn't dry off. So they got out of the mikvah. He said, so why can't you tell me who your Adam Gadol is? He said, no, I can't tell you in the mikvah, only out of the mikvah. Out of the mikvah, he says, it says about the Kohen Gadol that he would immerse and he would get up and dry himself off. Sounds like you can dry yourself off. Mm-hmm. So the Chemes Yom says, first of all, that's not a proof. He said, because the Kohen Gadol had to have nothing in between himself and his garments. Even wetness, unless it's wet, is a hefsek. He's not allowed to, he can't do the avoda. He's rushing to the avoda. He has to be completely pristinely dry. So that doesn't prove anything in terms of anybody else. He says, most importantly though, he said, it's better not to dry it, to leave the Erev Shabbos. But it's important to realize that once you enter the mikvah of Shabbos, once I enter the mikvah of Shabbos, I am not the same person anymore, and I have to watch my thoughts. I have to watch my actions. I'm not the same. I got an Erev Shabbos. I have to enable myself to connect to that, to be one with Hashem that way. That's what the... So you want to dry off, you don't want to... Whatever you're doing, make sure to watch yourself. He said, every person has, in his forehead, it says what he's done. Especially not such good things he might have done. Rav Yerucham Amir, the boys used to go with the hat over the forehead. They were afraid. Oh, he sees your forehead, and it wasn't so fun. He would say, my dear friend, why weren't you in Minyan yesterday? Why didn't you down with the Minyan for Mincha? Why didn't you make an after brother? Why didn't you He went to the theater. He would just see things, which there was no way to know. He couldn't have found them out. Nobody knew them except the person himself. And who knows what? People were afraid. Very, very afraid of him. You know, why did you embarrass your friend? I think that's right. No, so it was private. He didn't say it in front of everyone. It's very nice, but it wasn't such fun to get that from the Mashgiach. He was a very intense person. So people were like, you cover your right hand, you're okay. But on Erev Shabbos, when you go to the mikvah, that's wiped clean. Erev Shabbos, so, but if we do what's wrong after we go to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos, so it comes back. So why would we want to do that? We want to hold on to the light of Shabbos, realize I'm cleansed off. Whether I have the water on me or not, I have to remember, it stays on me, it's sunk in, and I'm a different person after the next 24 hours. I'm not the same guy. I'm a different guy. I've got to be careful. Be very, very careful. Get a light of Shabbos now. Especially if you're immersing after midday, which you really get a tremendous light. Remember, the Zohar says after you immerse, you're only supposed to work for Shabbos, nothing else. Your immersion is supposed to be completely connected to the light of Shabbos. Ah. Be very careful when we learn all these beautiful Torahs not to be discouraged, but to try to yearn to make it part of ourselves. We can't let it discourage us and make us feel bad. Oh, I won't. Oh, no, I didn't manage this, I didn't manage that. But we have to yearn. We're trying to yearn. I want to feel the light of Shabbos. I want to make it be changed. Dato Kelm, he had a problem with his blood. He was very, very white. Came Shabbos, he was on fire, red. The whole Shabbos, fire. Healthy, living complexion every week. The students said, like, the Medrash says, your face on Shabbos isn't the same as a Jew's face during the week. Is that true with us? If we're connected to Shabbos, maybe we should be connected to Shabbos the whole time. It's like a big avodah. To remember Shabbos, please Hashem, at least on Shabbos, let me be connected, let me be the real me.
Very good. Very good.
He said, be very vigilant to go to the mikveh of Shabbos, because the light of Shabbos is so high. We're so far from it. We have to do everything in our power to try to bring in whatever we can. Whatever we possibly can. Maybe we'll get the light of, he says, Ruach HaKodesh. Shabbos, if you're really connected, you'll have Ruach HaKodesh. He said, you want so much, you have an opportunity to give us Ruach HaKodesh. He said, jump in. Do it. Go to that mikvah. Focus. Stay connected. You can get gifts which are, we can't begin to understand. Next it. Not Yudches. He says, be careful to set aside clean garments, good garments for Shabbos. People aren't that careful to have new pants or new shirts for Shabbos. He said, but one who's careful will be blessed. It is well known that the Rizal was very careful. He told Chaim Vital, he said, when you dress for Shabbos, have in mind the name Zahari Kel. And that will help you bring holiness on yourself.
What does that mean?
Zahari Kel, Zohar means splendor. And Kel means of Hashem. You're putting on the splendor of Hashem. That's what we do. When we dress for Shabbos, we are putting the splendor of Hashem. We are enrolling ourselves with the splendor of Hashem. He said, that'll help a person become sanctified. He says what the Rambam say. Yeah. Right. So the Ben Ish Chai says, do not wear dark garments on Shabbos. No black. Yeah, we say, what? No black? So he says, you know, that was in those days when people were careful not to wear black. Today, on the contrary, it's very beautiful. Like we spoke about when we learned in Ari, in terms of dressing for Shabbos, we spoke about the fact that, on the contrary, according to the Ramak, black represents keser because you can't perceive it at all. It's totally, totally hidden from us. that represents Kesef, so that's what we're trying to access on Shabbos. There's a reason why one should wear black if possible. There is an aspect. Of course, where people, the custom is to wear black, if that's considered a feminist garment, the rabbi just said, point out, he said, well, what do you mean? That's what it was when everyone wore white, you shouldn't change, but you don't have to be the strange one wearing white. He says, otherwise, it could be you have a gaiva if in your place, everyone wears black, you wear white. Maybe it's an action which is clearly arrogance. It depends on the person, though. Totally
I thought it was a Sephardic custom to wear white.
The Zohar says, but the Arizal says, don't wear black. That's the problem. So don't wear black. But again, people, they do it, they do it. But yeah, today it's not on the country. Everyone wears black. Mm-hmm. They wear black. It's not a problem. But there is, the Zohar says about wearing white is better. But no, it depends. It really depends. The main thing is to, we'll see, what are the garments of Shabbat? That's the main thing. Why? Even a person going on his way should be careful not to wear weekday garments on Shabbos and not black. Even though you're in some place, some ship somewhere, some caravan, like Mr. Buddha says, listen, you're not honoring your guests or your friends, you're honoring the Shabbos that comes, whether there are other people there or not, whether they're Jewish or not, whether you're alone or with other people, whether they understand or they don't. Shabbos is coming, Shabbos is here. Those who go during the first 12 months after losing their father and mother on Shabbos, they go in big nape and garments, weekday garments which are black, or just weekday, he said, that's incorrect. It's an error, and it's forbidden to do that. I remember my dear father, he would put on his Shabbos clothes during the first 12 months for his, for the Benish Chai's grandfather, grandmother. And that's what I did also, he said, for my father. He said they used to, because they had very splendorous garments, they didn't wear the splendorous garments, they wore a somewhat in-between garment. For the rabbi of a city, if their custom is to wear these beautiful ornate robes, that's too much. So I did something in the middle. I wore something nicer for Shabbos, but not what I would usually have worn. Today, because everyone wears the same basic garments, it's basically one standard, more or less. So unless you have a special standard, you just wear the regular standard garment for Shabbos.
Would our garments change when we get the Beis Hamikdash?
I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. Tell you the truth. I don't know what will happen when it gets to this. How will it work? I don't know. This is a very startling of Rabbanel. Much more surprising for us than for his time. For Rabbanel, he says that all this technological stuff is just going to disappear. He's talking like late 14th century, right? 1480, 70. And he says, he writes, no technology, all this stuff, these inventions, compasses, ships, it's all going to disappear, we'll go back to living simply, at end of the 1400s, that's what he writes. Who knows, what's really going to be, hard to know. Famously, that's what he says. So I don't know what happened, actually, I have no idea. So we'll go back, all these people are into the organic and the passion, go back to land, you know, we can't destroy the earth, all that stuff. He's like, in their camp, 500 years before there was anybody like that. That's who he was. Because all this stuff is not, it's not what we need. It's going to be simple, and Hashem will give us everything we need, and that's it. It's not in this technology. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen when Mashiach comes. It's very risky to say what's going to happen. We don't know. Yep. Alright, I can't.
No, yeah, the reason I asked is because when the Templists, who published the blueprints, before the Sanhedrin, everyone was commenting that, you know, I thought everyone was supposed to wear flowing robes, like out of, Buck Rogers or Flash Gordon.
I have no idea. I don't know. I have to plead ignorance about the Sanhedrin. I don't know anything about it. Don't know. I just know that it's very, very hard to really be on the level, to be in such a body. That much I know. Not so easy. But maybe people had such great mastery of Torah, were so connected. Maybe. Alibi. I wish. What the one. Alright. So, I don't see that Shabbos Kabbalah here, so I'll say something different than what he says here, I guess. Nope. Yep. Here it is. 116. I wrote 161. Okay. So he says something very interesting. He says you're supposed to change your garments. When it came time to give the Torah, what did Hashem say to the Jewish people? He said to us, wash up and change your garments. Why? Because there's something very important to preparing for holiness, and you put on those garments. That's what the Talmud Rambam explains.
Well, everything was dipped in mikvah, right?
Yes.
So you're elevating it to from who went to Kodesh, right?
Yep, it's true. But why do I have to change my garments? I can just purify them. Change your garments. So you see there's an element when you go up, you bring what you're supposed to bring. Prepare yourself. It's not the moment, sorry. You're bringing a different person.
It's not.
Yeah, here it is, by Yaakov. Hashem says to Yaakov, get up and go to Beit El. Make me an altar. Make an altar to the God who appeared to you when you ran away from Esau. Right here, I'm making a mistake in the verse. Right? It's not from there. Right, so what happens? After the whole mice of Dina and Shechem, they destroyed Shechem, and then what happens? They come and they say, Hashem says, fine, you have to do this. What does Yaakov say? Yaakov says to his household, I am with you, remove the strange gods from within your midst. They took this from Shechem. Purify yourselves and change clothes. How should they change clothes? What does change clothes have to do with anything? See, so the Becham Hashem says, you see, you change your clothing. When you're going to receive Hashem, you change your outer garb. That's important. That's what the Becham Hashem brings. Beautiful, beautiful deed. So therefore, if you don't even have anything, at least switch around your garments, make it look different, make it different. So you have to remove the soiled garments of the week today. Remove those garments. Put on something in the honor of Shabbos. He says, if you look at the very word Shabbos, you could say it means Bigdei Shabbos Tilbash. Beis Shin Tov. That's the letter Shabbos, of course. It's not proper to ask you go to the mikvah to put on weekday clothes. It says in Ruth, you will wash, and you will anoint yourself, and you will put your garments on yourself. Our sages bring in Gemara and Shabbos that this refers to Shabbos clothes. And that was the custom of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai. So you don't wait. wash, and you right away get on your Shabbos clothes if possible. They brought him water, hot water. He washed his face, hands, and feet. He would put on a talis, put on his garments, whatever they were. Sit down in his feet, and you know, take his Shabbos. Apparently, after he, clearly, after you're purified from the weekday by the mikvah, don't go war by washing. Don't put on weekday clothing. That's how he comes to him explains. Every Erev Shabbos, the custom of the Ari was to make an Erev. An Erev. Made an Erev. What does that mean? You want to be able to carry, we need to make an Erev. We have a bunch of houses together, we need to make an Erev so that the whole domain will become one domain. The reason for an Erev, there are a few reasons for an Erev. On a simple level, we shouldn't get confused. There are some places you can't carry no matter what. If we said any place that's not a Torah prohibition to carry, you used to carry on Shabbos, you carry anywhere you go. That includes a very large place, which is 600,000 people, and you can't carry there. Some say even a very large road, big enough for 600,000 people, is enough. Either way, you would not be careful. So here you know, Erev, you have to make an Erev, then you start to consult with the right authority to learn about Erev, and you find out, well, there's some places you really can't make an Erev. Then you figure, whoa, I can't carry here. So in an apartment building, for example, you didn't make an Erev. So very often, they would make an Erev every week. They take a piece of bread, a certain amount of bread, so that everyone, there should be enough, and they're enough for a meal, whatever it is exactly, maybe a meal per person, depends how much, I don't remember right now, but I think he's going to get to it, I think he's going to talk about it here, I think. If not, maybe kids will see it. So you take a particular amount of out, and you, from everyone, and you make the bracha, and that makes an Erev. Now, why not make an Erev for the whole year? The problem is that the bread has to still be good. The minute it's no good, you're as it were sharing a meal, the minute it's no good, so you can't. So some people, they do make an Erev for a year, and they take matzah. They make an Erev with the matzah. Perfect. You leave it in the shul all year till next Pesach, and that's then it's all perfect. You do another one. But otherwise, it's very, it's not so simple to make an Erev. So, lots of people used to do this. In Inyan, there's a special mitzvah to make an Erev every other Shabbos. The reason I explain is, first of all, that Erev is Abrayu. We'll see in Cheslav Ram. Erev is 72, Chesed and Gvura. That's the numerical value of Erev. Chesed and Gvura. Because you're mixing together the exact right limits and expansiveness so you have a perfect vessel to connect and grab the light of Shabbos. That's what everybody says. That's the first thing. That's the very first thing. Yeah, he says, that's what we do on an impact that we do from year to year. And he has the right for it from his father. And they put it in the shul. The big area for everyone, they put it in the shul. And again, there's something one says. You take a right, should you make a bracha, and then you say, with this area, I'm allowed to carry. Fine. And you have to have somebody transfer the rights to the people from the place where he's making the area. Someone accepts the rights. Fine. Okay. Let's see what Tanchuma says here. So he brings already this idea, the Chatzionim. Our job in this world is to become a vehicle for holiness. Just like a person can be a vehicle for holiness, however, person could be a different kind of vehicle. It could be something else in the world which is not so good. And we have to cancel out the vehicle of the wrong side of things. The Holy Merkava consists of 12 different aspects. That's why you have 12 mil for the Erev. So on Erev Shabbos, before Shabbos, the Merkava goes up. All the worlds ascend. And there is a space, as it were, between the higher worlds and evil. That's why on Shabbos, the Chitzonim are finished. There's no, we have nothing to do with anything which is not holiness. That's why we can go just this amount and not more. The person who goes more, he brings the other side into his neshama. Bringing in the light of Chesed and the light of Gura, putting these together exactly the way it's supposed to be. There's a lot of beautiful Torah, but Yisusko especially talks a lot of beautiful things about Eru. And Nassim also. He explained that you have Ayin Azamra, you have this Bechin of Ayin Azamra, this expansive is in this Azamra, it's all the good, the person's filling it up with good. And Ayin, the person's searching, it's more Din, it's more Gura, two of them put together. That's what Shabbos is a must experience. Next, if Chav. Now that you malacha on Erev Shabbos from your Chitan and above. 9.5 hours. Even though some say earlier, that's how we hold. It's only talking about what does the labor that's real labor, not business and the like. Even though some say it's no good business. Custom is, people are not worried about business type things. You do a little something in a shop that's not so bad. It's not something that's too, takes up too much time. So don't, you know, if you're a tailor, and if you're a tailor, or you're a person who sews things, or a person who makes different things. So that is someone who inspired to create things, so don't do your work after Mishat Tana. But this person also should not write Safrut Erev Shabbos after Mishat Tana. 2.5 halachic hours before Shkia. But a person who writes books for himself just because he's learning, that's okay. He really sits there a lot because he's. And even when he's not writing anything new, he's just summarizing or something. It's a mitzvah, so they permitted it. Letters also they permitted. Even a business letter. Even though he's not losing anything by waiting, he doesn't want to wait though.
Usually it would stop working after
2 o'clock. Yeah, it sounds about right. You couldn't have a little more time if you have to.
Because it usually always was so into it that even though I was trying to stop it too, it was like sometimes.
It's hard, yeah, that's hard. All. That's the problem. That's exactly why there's this. Exactly the problem. Exactly.
You don't know, you really lose track of time. So maybe yep. Many times where you just don't need to keep going, and all of a sudden it's like Shkia. I only noticed that it's getting close to Shkia. So definitely on Yom Shishi, I would always stop.
Smart.
It's very easy to get into the groove,
uh-huh. He said, but if you want to, yeah, he said, if you want to set up your all of your accounts, don't do that. It can take you a lot of time. Which you'll have. You said it.
And I even used to not even start a new project on Friday.
Yeah, that's what
you see. Even a new, like starting a new project can be so intense. Yeah.
Sure. Definitely.
Or any other project, I mean, cutting or whatever, it's
not so bad.
Yeah,
not so
bad.
No, so he says, even if you get a new, if you get someone sends you a cheshbon from his city, just write it down and say, wait for the Shabbos, or get too involved. If a person poor needs the money, then he'll have to do work on the Erev Shabbos. Even if he has water and bread, but he doesn't have meat and fish, you can do work. Pirmei Gadim says it's the same thing. A person who borrowed money because he needs to work it out, or work it off, he gets a job, he can work to pay it back, or else he won't borrow money in the morning, he won't have a job, because he doesn't have it. Good? In the Gemara Megillah, you mean?
It was in the Gemara of, the one I'm running now. I'm talking about the argument between the Tanaim and some of the Gemara. Anyway, I wasn't sure if that still applied today, if there was such a thing.
Even there, I think if you look carefully, you'll find it's not so simple as this opinion. I think.
The argument was you should try to learn Torah if you can, but obviously.
I know it's a Gemara Menachos about it. He said, sure, you can learn Greek, it's called Greek Chachma, right? Chachma Yevanis. Right? He said, just do it when it's not day and not night.
Right?
What? It's not Greek itself, it's Greek Chachma Yevanis, a special kind of sign language or understanding how to convey things to people. Yeah, like the Rabbi Sharebi, that's a father of mine, I let him go to university, I think I can pick up the spark. He said, sure, if you keep learning the 18 hours a day like you're doing now, without any day, and did I tell you about this?
What?
I told you about this, I don't remember.
Yeah, he went and learned, right?
He went and learned, and the professor, he knew the answer better than anyone else. Leave him alone. Leave him in Gemara.
It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. Don't ask me to explain that, I don't understand. Yeah, exactly. If you are on that, they're fine.
That would be all for you, such a good
one. I'm looking for time here.
So, obviously, teaching English would be a problem.
Huh?
Teaching English would be a problem.
Usually. Generally.
Teaches English in some languages. Certified.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Something has a particular time and then you're done.
Yeah.
Also, Minchik Tana is later these days.
Yeah.
And also, sometimes you have no choice. She has no choice. What she's supposed to do? She has a job. That's her job. Until, you know, Friday is until when? This is until when? Usually a day early, so you make it time.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Usually 2 o'clock, let's say, is Minchik Tana even during the winter. Usually that's okay. Bring in the light of Shabbos, in short. And we want to be focused on Friday about on Shabbos. So how are we supposed to do that if we're involved in our work? It's like almost impossible. That's part of why it's not preferable and one shouldn't be doing it. There's some rough that you do it. Even though it's not Shabbos yet, we're supposed to be yearning for Shabbos, making the Shabbos on Friday. I don't know if I manage this always. I'd like to, though. I'm hoping to. Sometimes when we learn these ideas, you can get very discouraged and say, my Friday is so, I want so much to do.
I just worked on trying to
Ashrecha.
That's great. Trying to hold on to
that's
that
great.
One.
That's a big, yeah, that's a big, big thing.
It's easy because you can tell the kids and they're all into it.
Yes, it's easy.
You know, they just hear it.
Yeah, that's right.
They hear it.
That's beautiful.
And they're like, ah.
Really?
Yeah.
It's true.
I told them what we do, we learn. We can hold the coast, celebrating all this forest, all the learning we did during the fall out of bed. And it's like, it kind of, everyone sort of got into it a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. It's beautiful, beautiful stuff. Like I said, sometimes you have to just be careful not to be discouraged. It's so much. Like we just learned now, you go to the mikvah, it says you got rid of all the kabbalists can see things on the fire. But the Kamara says that we have like a neon sign, like different letters, are the ones that have different letters. You see, there are different letters flashing on our forehead, saying, hi, I did this. On Shabbat, the mikvah, it's wiped clean. But that's only when it's wiped clean. It's only wiped clean when I, you know, it's, you can't be doing sin and assume
it'll be
well. That's not how it works. That's the thing. So it's not so simple.
So you have to, when you wipe it clean, you have to have it on it.
Yeah.
Actually, have to be clean.
So you go to the Mikvah Friday, you right. Wipe yourself clean, you're in somewhere else, you say, don't dirty yourself. Don't sell it, you're like, well, from the mikvah you're just cleansed, so jump in.
Right.
That's the idea. So the melacha, again, a person who's doing work on Erev Shabbos, we're supposed to be working on connecting to Hashem Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos is a tremendous time.
Why don't we teach them to jump in on Aliyah? I have no idea. I don't know. We heard the word jump in. It's a new technique. And
you got me. I honestly have no idea. Just know that. I think the more connected we are to Eretz Yisrael, the more people will feel they need to come.
That's
I think that's really the key. That's the key to real Aliyah. The person feels something. Otherwise,
we're really connected to a lot of people. Our tshuva, we're actually dragging them with us.
That's so thing, yeah, for sure. I think that's the best way. That's what I would say, really. Connect myself to be really living in Eretz Yisrael. Really connected to
everyone here.
Absolutely.
That's
hard.
Lose that word myself.
Yep. The Bishkov, as I said before, Bishkov said, why is it that the non-religious people in Israel, they feel so much of kippur? They fast, they cry, for the truth. In Yerushalayim, even if whatever the persons are, he wears the yarmulke, he doesn't wear the yarmulke, who knows how she dresses or doesn't dress, but they say, have an easy fast before Yom Kippur. You go to an electric company, one person says another, have an easy fast. It's just the way it is here. It's in Shabbos. Shabbos is halakhically no less serious than Kippur.
It's probably
more.
Well, Hanukkah, they usually all like menorahs.
Hanukkah, yeah, Hanukkah also, but not as much as Yom Kippur.
Mm-hmm.
Kippur, you have people who they don't care about Hanukkah. Kippur, though, well, okay, that, I've got this, something fast. I need to do something. It's like, what's the deal? Why is Shabbos? Like you said, really, halakhically, there is a certain way in which Shabbos is worse. And yeah, we lay more of this in a circle. We're more fiducia. It's very interesting to work out how Shabbos fit in with Yom Kippur. There's two separate things going on there. But why do they feel Yom Kippur, not Shabbos? He said, it has to do with us. Yom Kippur, once a year, we feel really inspired. So that spreads out. And the whole populace feels something very special.
Really?
Shabbos. He said, we only felt Shabbos. We picked him up too. You couldn't drive on Shabbos. It's like Yom Kippur. What? You're not going to drive on Yom Kippur, are you? No, come on. I'll fix you. Don't exaggerate. I wouldn't drive on Yom Kippur. There's a lot of people like that.
You're not
on Yom Kippur. On Kippur. Ah, we have some nice stuff. I mean, there's no the cars. Libya and Hanover, the fish at Tel Aviv, and they drive empty. Every 10 minutes is a car. One car. Nobody's driving cars in that. Or some object. Nobody's driving. Nobody's driving. So we just have to feel life Shabbos. This ain't even the life of yourself. We know that there's a reason we're here, what it means, and how it is. People will come. That's the best way. That's the real way.
It's like me talking to someone saying, you're not going to feel
a life, Shabbos? Yeah, it's like, but feeling it, it's not even talking. Talking's not good enough. There's a problem with talking. This person doesn't feel it. He doesn't know what you're talking about.
What's
it's
really
a dangerous place, isn't it? Jewish Middle Eastern country.
What's really interesting is the Octus unity since the three boys were kidnapped. I mean, they had a massive rally. What was it? Yesterday, the day before yesterday, in Tel Aviv.
Wow.
I mean, something's happening.
Oh,
positively.
So,
not even soldiers, they're just little kids.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yep. It's crazy.
I mean, it's the unity will help. Something's happening.
Let's hope.
Positive.
Let's hope. Let's hope. We shouldn't be. That's for sure. We'll do one more sip. So today, unfortunately, usually I'm here till 5. Today I have a bank problem, which should have been done in the morning with ease. But they're missing people. I don't know how it is, so I got to get to the bank. So we'll do a little bit more, and then I'm going to go. There's Hashem. You're not allowed on Erev Shabbos to make a big meal, which isn't usual during the weekdays. I mean, in the morning it's not proper. It's not part of Shabbos. You should have Shabbos with an appetite. He said, when are we talking about this? He said, that's only a regular meal. He said, but a mitzvah meal. He said, but if it's a mitzvah meal, what you really should do is steal, which is that's the time you learn carefully, or a milo, or a pizza. He said, that's okay. Or engagement, that's not a problem. So, but don't stuff yourself so much you can't eat for Shabbos. You have to keep your base for Shabbos.
I mean, there's someone who got married on Shabbos Friday morning. There's some kind of...
You can.
There's some kind of thing about that in Yerushalayim.
They used to marry Friday late. The answer why is very obvious, because they couldn't afford to pay for a meal. Since they ever made the Shabbos for it, brought it over, they just couldn't do it. So it's Friday, as they hopefully before Shkia, there's a whole question in the post game. Like people wanted to carry candles and stuff, so late. So are you allowed to marry? Even if you're allowed to marry, what about those candles you want to bring the chasm?
So they do it on Friday, they go home, they don't stay.
They don't go home, no. Everyone brings their food and then they all it's very liberty. There's even a discussion of whether you can hire a non-Jew to pledge mitzvah.
Kibbutz, Kibbutzville.
It's sort of, yeah. They had no choice. They had no food. That's why they started in the morning, but they sort of, they made Shabbos early. There was a whole, discussion. There are more discussions this year. They made Shabbos early, but also, what about those camels? You can't exactly carry camels.
They
have a problem. But again, it's Friday. They said we kept not to be Friday night. And I thought, they tried. But it was the reason why the advantage, also people didn't work. It just became really, it became possible to go without, ruining your day, without...
It was also something about a Shabbos.
It's preferable, and it says not to make it Friday. So people will get home before Shabbos, they won't be stuffed up before Shabbos. This is the opposite. Could be, I don't know. Could be the rest of it.
I don't know.
So it's better not to make a meal. Before the 10th hour, like not that late. Like 2 hours before Chatzos. As much as early in the morning is better. So really, you can do it, Bar mitzvah, if it's the day, you can. But if it's not, then do it Sunday. Pinyan Ben also, if it's a day, you can do it. And that's what he says. So first of all, there's a maestro with the note of Yehuda, very interesting maestro. He once came to talk to a wealthy person about, he wants to, he needs help, maybe we'll help him out. So he came to speak with him, and knocks on the door, and the servant, waiter, or whatever was in the house, this manservant, I don't know what you call it, butler, maybe he's to come right in. He came in and he sees this guy at this feast. Wow, what a feast! Good food. That's way before Shabbos. So he said, I don't understand. I don't know if he said it. It was clear that it was not so, he was surprised to see him indulging this way before Shabbos, hours before Shabbos. Can't take a Shabbos now. So this man, he said, listen, Rabbi, I see you. I think this is very strange, but you should know. I mean, I'm going to eat a nice meal now. I'll have plenty of space for later. This is just, this is a fine meal, but so what? So the Nebbi Huda said, now I understand the Medrash, which I never understood before. The Medrash says that Adam Arishan, he ate the fruit on Erev Shabbos. And Hashem said, they drink the fruit. So at some point he said, I ate and I will eat again. I mean, that's unbelievable chutzpah. How could you say, I ate and I'll eat again? He said, now I understand, like you. He said, hey, what's the problem? For Shabbos, I'll eat again. He says, that's not good enough. That's not good enough to eat again.
It's pre-Weight Watchers.
I guess so. Yeah. I don't know, but the Gemara tells about a family that would make every Friday a big meal, and they were wiped out. And they have the meal for Shabbos is a very, very special time. Special thing, yeah. So they did not live. did not live. You can't make a big meal Friday just because why not family get together barbecue, and then you come to the Shabbos and you have stuff like that. I don't know what. That's not what the Shabbos meal is. A different level of food. It's a different situation.
What is that?
Huh?
What
is the Gemara and Kitchen. Gemara. Yeah, it's like really not. I have no idea. It says the name of the family, maybe. Gemara and Kitchen is like, whoa, they what? They what? Goodbye. It's very serious. You see, it's a very, what we saw a little before, the meals of Shabbos are all doing great things. We have a big opportunity on Shabbos to ascend through eating the food. The food is.
Is that why it's Chassid Ben Bash after Chatzos?
Again?
Is that why isn't Chassid Ben Bash?
Yeah.
Bread after Chatzos?
Yeah, they're careful. And like again, the Mishnah, like we say, it's a mitzvah the Mishnah Berurah brings, it's in the post can bring. It's a mitzvah not to have even a regular meal. You should be hungry if possible. Shouldn't be starving, you can be, I don't know what, but you should be, it's better to be hungry if possible. Sometimes you go overboard and the kids are like, you should go in because they're starving, so give them some food. Not anything abnormal, and better to avoid even what's normal as little as possible so you have space for Shabbos food if you can. These meals, we don't understand what these meals are doing. I mean, Rabbi Nachman says, what happens if a person made a mistake? And he did a malacha on Shabbos. Turn the light back to him. He said, you fix it by eating a little more on Shabbos and having in mind. What does that mean?
Wow.
You don't know what these meals are. You don't understand what they are. You think you're trolling it. I don't know. That's not what it is. Because these meals are the highest possible thing. You don't get it. From Hashem to here, from here, from here. Wow, these meals are not a, it's not a, it's not some, you know.
Eating a little bit more and having that in mind?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, he doesn't say that. It's obvious you have the money. That's why you're happy. You have a little more of Shabbos. You see the power. It doesn't mean you eat so much. You're eating a normal night, a little more. You're focusing that the food of Shabbos will wipe out like sacrifice. I'm like, Chakos. Wow, that's pretty, that's intense. How do you do that? Not a simple piece. Meals are a very big thing. You don't want to get in the way. I'm enjoying these Siddur Shabbos. These Siddur Shabbos are, it says, I mean, you read about this and you say, what? I mean, it says that each one saves one from Gehenna, and one from this, and one from Golden Mago. What is this meal? What am I doing with these meals? What's going on here? These meals are a very big thing. We can't let anything get in our way. We have to be very, very careful. Very, very careful as much as possible. And I'll just say what the Tzvila Rebbe said, so we should go, but the Tzvila Rebbe says something very interesting. He said that, you should know. He said that when you insult someone, when you don't treat them properly, you need to make it up to them. He says, Shabbos is the same thing. When you look back and see Shabbos, I don't know what happened with that Shabbos. He said, Marav Malka, have a nice Malka, sing songs with special gusto. He says, make it up to Shabbos. You can't just like, oh well, messed up, better luck next week. No. He said, you have to grab on and make it up.
Or finish your Shabbos with people who keep it late.
You can also.
Where I go, he talks forever. When he does Shabbat. So it feels good to know you're holding on to Shabbat.
For sure, for sure. But nothing talks, we'll see about
during the week, I don't enjoy it. Shabbat, it's okay. Sometimes they go a little overboard. You never get some marv.
Wow.
But Shabbat is good.
I mean, you're adding from the week to Shabbat. It's a very big thing. If I add time, so I'm doing something. That's what lesson brings. It's also brought that at the end of Shabbos, you ascend, part of you ascends to the place where Adam and Chava were before they fell. So you want to hold on to that and let it affect your week any way you can. Like you're hearing someone speaking, being inspired and being alive, somehow, grabbing onto and making that part of your day. I'm very, very sorry that I happened early today. It's very unusual.